If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
720 WGN. Boy, there's nothing like a live rock concert. And that would be one of the performers who came in here. You can't hear. Is there a look at the volume control? No, don't take the headphones off, because once you turn the volume up, then you're going to get feedback. You sure you don't hear me? Really? You can say, we're on the radio, you can speak into the microphones.
I can hear you.
You don't hear me?
I can't hear me.
You don't hear you?
No.
Hey, we have a thing. Well, Mark Plotnick and Jim Smara, who are co-authors and contributors to a great book called 70s Chicagoland Rock Concerts, and they're also hosts of The Rock Show, streaming at the Illinois Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum, are in the studio, and now they can be heard, and they can hear me, yes?
Yes.
Yep, barely, no. Sure.
Okay, right? Everybody
we're good.
On?
We're good.
Yep, we're good.
Okay, just making sure. So, let's get to this.
Okay.
Why you still can? So I opened up with Jay Giles, right? A live show, not necessarily one in Chicago, but you mention in this book, how many different concerts?
We put in 50 concerts because of time restraints.
Yeah.
And, or I should say page restraints. So we picked out 50 that I photographed back in the 70s, and we try to divvy it up between the really well-known bands like Led Zeppelin and
yes.
Who, and then we put in bands like Savoy Brown and Jay Giles and even the New York Dolls and people like that, so that we had a little bit of a good spectrum of rock shows.
You know, I loved some of the background on the bands and information about them, but I have to say, your backstories I find to be very interesting. Hold on a minute. Somebody going with an Instamatic camera in 70-something to the Rolling Stones?
Yeah, well, it started in 72 that I would bring my Kodak Instamatic with the flash cube, if you remember those little things.
Sure I do.
But back in those days in Chicago, we had the Kinetic Playground and the Aragon and places like that where you could sneak up to the front of the stage. So bottom line is my pictures were getting better, and the place I was bringing my photos to, they were saying, you should get a 35-millimeter camera with a telephoto lens. I'm going, okay, what's that? So where else do you go in 1971 or two is you go to Sears and buy something from Sears. And so I bought a 35-millimeter camera, and I kind of learned on my own, snuck on the main floor of a Led Zeppelin concert, took some good pictures, took a couple more shows, took some good pictures. I brought them to Flipside Records.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And they liked them. They put them on the wall. They said, every time you go to a concert, bring us some of those pictures. So I did the next couple. And then they said, well, you know what? Would you like to be our official photographer?
Nice.
I was 19 years old. And so I said, what do I have to do? They said, well, we'll get you backstage. You know, you could probably meet the bands and just give us a good 5x7 of each show. So, one day I'm buying Black Sabbath tickets. The next day I'm seeing Black Sabbath in person.
That's right. Hi, Ozzy. Nice to see you.
Yeah, we partied a little bit.
I'm not going to ask about that. So, Mark, how do you two meet up?
Well, we've been friends for 40 years. And what happened was I retired from corporate America, and Jim comes to me and says, you're not retiring. Let's write some books. We both have a shared knowledge of and love of rock and roll music.
Yeah.
I'm a frustrated musician on keyboards. So basically, we decided, let's see where this goes. So we wrote our first book, which was Classic Rock Photographs from Yesterday and Today. Next thing you know, we're VIP guests at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland.
How about it?
And they sent us, we got this tour backstage of memorabilia, clothing, apparel, everything that the public does not see. So that book sort of exploded. We did a second book, and we've had a lot of success with it. you have us here, so.
Yes, that's right. And you know what? I went to a lot of concerts here in the 70s.
I know.
So okay. I can relate to what's in the book.
I thought I saw you there, yeah.
Yeah, you might have.
Second row, right?
Could have been.
Or the Bob Uecker seats, one or the other.
Whatever it was, the statute of limitations has run out. So, you know, that's that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Who laced up Oprah Winfrey's Air Jordans? What's the story behind that?
Very quickly, I wrote a book in 1985 between jobs called The Smart Money Shopper, and I sent out some press releases, and I got a call from Oprah's producer.
Wow.
Come on, we want you on the show. We're going to give you $1,000. Go out shopping for different items, compare prices, and so forth. So we wound up on a show when she was still regional.
Yes, right. Now we're at Channel 7, yeah.
Exactly. And we had all these things and everything. We had Air Jordans we bought at one place, and Air Jordans we bought at another place. And Oprah sticks out her feet and says, put them on me. So literally, here we have Oprah's feet in our hands. We're putting the shoes on her. And I want to tell you, that changed my career, actually, being on that show.
Yes, well, I understand that can happen, being on with Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
But you didn't have a career putting Jordans on other people's feet, but it did help you do something else.
No, I was actually in pre-med, John.
Really?
Yeah. Music has always been my passion, but I always worked for companies in various industries. And in the background, I was a rock and roll guy. I just didn't play professionally, but
right.
I played since I've been 9 years old. So.
Wow. Well, this book is fantastic. What was the process, and anybody can answer, of choosing which concerts and which bands, I guess both are the same thing, that you were going to include in this book? Because the 70s here was...
Yeah, I probably shot back in the day maybe 90 to 100 bands. So we had to choose X amount to fit the pages. So I chose the 50 best that I had of photographs and I thought would best represent the book. So that's pretty much it. That's it.
Were you at the, you were mentioning venues like the Auditorium Theater, Eric Crown Theater, and if I remember correctly, the band Chicago played 5 consecutive nights. Am I right about that?
At the Eric Crown.
At the Eric Crown,
That was probably 72-3.
Yeah.
But there was also the amphitheater. Remember the amphitheater, the big barn?
Are you kidding?
43rd and Halsted, I believe.
It was there for the Rolling Stones with Stevie Wonder opening.
1972.
See, listen to this.
June 20th.
Were you there?
That's the picture that got me going.
Because, oh, no kidding.
Well, I had 10th Row Center. Those were the days if you got the ticket Tron back in the day.
Yeah.
And you got first in line, you got good seats. So I had 10th row seats. And I brought my Kodak Instamatic, and of the 12 pictures on the roll, one came out, and that was it. And I thought, that's how it all started, actually.
Now, you didn't have the cube that rotated on top.
Of course I did, yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
So it's a flash.
It was a flash, yeah.
And
it came out.
And the band did not react negatively to that?
Well, Jagger stopped the show, and he said, get that kid out of here.
No, he didn't.
But that's I actually still have that picture framed in my office at home. As a reminder of how it all started.
That is fantastic.
Well, Jim, there is someone that sort of took issue with one of your shots.
It's in the book. If you look at the book, so back in the day when you photographed these shows, flash was not allowed.
Right.
As it is today. You can't shoot flash today.
Mm-mm.
But it was Traffic was with Stevie Winwood.
Ooh.
And they were, I think this was 1974, but they were all under blue lights, which is terrible for photography.
Right.
So I only shot a couple pictures of them with flash. And the picture in the book has Stevie Winwood looking right at me with his middle finger extended. I put that in the book.
You know, I got to say right now, the book is fantastic. It has so many awesome photographs.
Thank you.
But even if it only had two... The one that was taken with the Instamatic with the cube flash, and the one where he's flipping the bird to you, that would be enough for me. I mean, that's really sort of cool.
Well, the Instamatic picture's not in there.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh, okay.
The ones that are in there are from 75, I believe.
I guess I just didn't put the 2 and 2 together.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
No, you're forgiven.
Thank you. Because how many photos are in here?
Oh, geez.
Mm-hmm.
150, maybe?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're talking to Mark Plotnick and Jim Samara, co-authors and contributors to 70s Chicagoland Rock Concerts, and they do more than that, and we'll talk about that when we come back here on 720 WGN. I want to show you the way. Peter Friend from 720 WGN. We were talking off the air, and all of a sudden I see these from the control room. Everybody's like, hey, hey, we're playing the Frampton thing. Okay. Good. Mark Plotnick, Jim Samara, okay, co-authors of the book 70 Chicagoland Rock Concerts. Now let's talk about the rock show. Hosted the rock show. What's that about? Obviously it's about rock. But yeah, you know.
Well, actually it's about everything. We call it that rock show, but yeah, we'll cover folk, progressive, blues, hard rock. We focus on a lot of, we used to call it that classic rock show.
Yes.
When we had it previously, but our new show is being streamed from the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66.
In Joliet?
Yep. And we do the show once a week. It's an hour. It's insights, backstories, music, and we do a lot of interviews with people from the music industry.
No kidding.
Yeah. Previously, we had the police. Yeah. Not Sting, we had Andy Summers and Stuart Copeland. We've had Dave Mason.
How'd you get a hold of them?
We just asked them.
That's it.
Well,
I
actually,
have a lot of connections.
Yeah, we have connections with a lot of the venues. It's really connections, John.
Yeah.
And we all get notices when there are interview opportunities, and you'd be surprised. It's not that hard.
Yeah, you would be making a lot of connections over the years, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I've met a lot of people, and it's been a lot of fun. We had, you left a couple out. We had Dave Mason, Carmen Appice, Kim Simmons of Savoy Brown.
The Righteous Brothers.
The Righteous Brothers.
Savoy Brown?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kim Simmons.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've had a lot of people on, and a lot of times the venues will contact me, either the Arcata or the Displays I shoot at or the Genesee, and they'll say, we got so-and-so coming in. Would you like to interview them? And we say, of course.
Now, isn't that exactly the opposite of the way it used to be?
Really?
I mean, don't you think? They contact you?
Oh.
Come on in. We want to have you interview somebody?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the way it was back in the day. We would be pounding doors to try to get someone in.
Well, we have, you know, over 14 listeners, so that's probably why they want to be on our show.
That includes my wife and your wife.
That's right.
So, and it's streaming, obviously.
Correct.
So once it's up, it's up, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's broadcast on Tuesday. Jim, you know the times better than I do. Tuesdays at 11.
Tuesdays at 11 and Thursdays at 7, and then it's archived by Wednesday afternoon.
But if you go to the Illinois Rock Museum website and you go to podcasts, all of our shows are kept on their server, so you can listen anytime.
And how do you decide the content of each of these shows?
Well, every week we do a different theme. Like last week we did, or this week was British Invasion bands of the 60s. Obviously, you know who they are, the Beatles, the Stones, et cetera.
How deep did you go?
We go somewhat deep. We want the music to be the big part of the show.
Right.
So we pick out little trivia things. We try to find things that a lot of people don't know. I mean, we're not going to say, you know, the Beatles was John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
No!
No.
Really?
We come up with...
Man.
You know, sometimes we'll focus on favorite piano players in rock bands.
Yeah.
Just, we try and make it different every week so it doesn't become monotonous. And then Jim and I, you know, we have a pretty deep knowledge of rock and roll. So
I'll say.
We do some research. We try and provide some interesting things that people don't know. And then we have some fun, too, on the show.
I would hope so.
Yeah. One show we did on another station was we found some people that were like local bands.
Mm-hmm.
And I had them tell us, what song would you like to play on the radio? And we had like about 10 of them on, and they'd never been on the radio before. So we played it for them. And I just figured it was just kind of a cool way to get them at least to be on the radio once in their life.
Now, let me get this straight. These are bands picking a song that they would like to play on the radio.
Yes.
But not their music.
Their music.
Oh, their music.
But
okay.
Also, it could be
anybody.
Acts that influence them.
Right.
It's their choice, and you know, we accommodate them.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
So, 70s Chicagoland Rock Concerts, available wherever.
A lot of places. Are you ready? Yeah. Should I say this fast?
You don't have to say it fast.
Okay.
I want to know.
Well, first of all, there's Amazon. There's the Arcata Theater, the Rockstock in St. Charles, the Desplaines Theater, Valhalla Records in Oak Park, Black Circle Records up in Lake Geneva, Rolling Stones Records in Norridge, Blue Village Vinyl Records in Westmont, the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum in Joliet, all Barnes & Noble, all Barbara's Bookstores. One we're very proud of, it's at Hudson's Gifts and News, which is at the airport.
Yes, fantastic.
And Arcadia Publishing, get it straight from there, too.
Well, congratulations on that distribution.
Thank you.
I mean, that's a big part of the ballgame.
Yeah.
So how many books have in total have been done so far?
Well, this is our second book. Yeah. And the cool thing, John, is both books are part of the Cleveland Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum's
Library and
Archives. Library and Archives. And that's really to serve as preservation of rock and roll history, education, research.
Oh, sure.
And we've been there several times, and it's cool. You'd be surprised a lot. You have to make an appointment to go in
there. I know you do.
So, we have a couple, two, three more books planned.
Jim's two, not gonna three let
me,
more.
Jim's not going to let me retire. I have to ask my wife each time, is it okay?
Yeah, how does this go over, by the way, with families and
wife likes me to leave her alone, so.
same here. Yeah. Actually, we're very fortunate. We have wonderful wives who are very happy for us, and they like to have their own time.
You know, and it also impresses me, you know, if we roll back our lives, way back, you know, 72, whenever you're getting your first tastes of this kind of music, that you would ever think at that time that you would be here at this time talking about rock and roll. I mean, really.
Yeah, well,
right?
I didn't think of it. You know, I was very fortunate that I kept all the photos through the years. And, you know, I sold them through the years through magazines and stuff. But in the 2000s, when I put my website together, then they started really selling. And, you know, for our next book that we're going to do, it's Never Too Old to Rock and Roll. So it's all the guys from the 60s, 70s, and 80s who are still performing.
Yeah, and there are a lot.
And so I decided, I got to start shooting these bands again. And that's how this all restarted.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. And keep rocking. What can I say? You know, I mean, come on. How old's Mick Jagger? 80-something or other?
Something like that.
McCartney, he's in his 80s. He's still going.
I will tell you, it keeps you young in heart and mind.
Yes, it does.
I'm 75, and I'm enjoying myself more than ever.
Yeah. I just want to say one thing. The cool thing about music is when I photograph a lot of these shows, and like I said, I try to do it the 60s and 70s and 80s bands. So a lot of people come into the shows, and they've got walkers and canes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But for that 90 minutes, they're up there, and they're rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what music's all about. Music makes you, it's nostalgic. It makes you feel good. It makes you forget your troubles. Like Riverview, remember, laugh your troubles
sure,
away.
Sure, you bet.
It's the same thing. It makes you forget about all the stuff that's going on in the
I remember maybe an obscure tune back from when it was all starting called It Will Stand. Do you know what I'm talking about? Rock and Roll, It Will Stand?
No.
Look it up. see if I know what I'm talking about.
We'll Google it.
All right. Really, thank you for coming in, Mark and Jim. 70 Chicagoland Rock Concerts and hosts of The Rock Show, streaming from the Illinois Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, John. Appreciate it.
Really appreciate it.